As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want a team that nobody's talking about in the playoffs.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's the Rams.
We're gonna go out.
I don't think we're talking enough about the Chargers.
Touchdown, Chargers!
Today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf. And now it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live here from El Segundo, California. And I know a lot of folks out there take us in as an opportunity to escape from life and escape the real world. Unfortunately, for those of us here in Los Angeles, California, it is impossible to do so right now. I just wanted to start this program out there to say to everybody that's out there either watching us on the Roku Sports Channel or listening to us on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, or Odyssey, anybody that's taking in this show and can hear the sound of my voice right now, please do say a prayer for those who are in literally the line of fire right now. Not just the people who are running from their homes or who have evacuated yesterday in the last 24 hours from locations like Malibu, California, and Pacific Palisades, California, Altadena and Pasadena, California, Sylmar, California, just to name five off the top of my head. And not just say a prayer for them, but for everybody. All the first responders who are out there right now putting their lives on the line. And I'm sure everybody is seeing the video coming here from LA. You have no idea. It is only the half of it. Mm-hmm. Winds are gusting as if they are a hurricane here in Southern California, making the battling of these fires and the withstanding of these fires all the more difficult. So please do take a moment and say a prayer. Quite frankly, it is that dire. And once the fires do, knock on wood, finally die out or get under control, I think everybody across this country and around the world seeing what's going on here in Southern California will be stunned and shocked at communities that have been a vibrant part of the Los Angeles world. I do fear are being wiped off the map as we talk right now. And I do want to say this as well. To everyone out there who is a firefighter and a first responder, anywhere you are, thank you. There, but for the grace of God, do we need you. And I felt this way many times in my life, meeting all the bravest and all the people who put their lives on the line for us and not knowing us, who run into the danger. Whether it was on 9/11 or now, and I'm serious, folks, what's happening here in Southern California is particularly significant. I want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you in advance if anybody here on our show studio or in our show orbit needs you, and we may, over the next 24 to 72 hours, what's going on here. So I just wanted to start the show that way and say thank you. And please, anybody in your community, out there in the United States or listening to us, if you know a first responder or you know, stop by a firehouse today, stop by a hospital, stop by a police station today and say thank you, please. I just wanted to start the show that way. And
gosh, Rich, that's so well said. I echo everything you say. It's very scary out here right now.
So thank you in advance, and please say a prayer. On with the show, because we are all of us here fortunate to still have our homes, although we have our loved ones sitting in our homes right now, nervous and worried. We're here for you, and kind of, to be honest, here for ourselves in a way, to step away from what's going on here in Southern California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here. We'll talk some sports, and this show is going to be truly all over the map. Quite frankly, when we are done, if you are taking in this program on the Roku Sports channel, or if you are taking in this show terrestrial radio, you will say, wow, that had it all. I promise you. Ryan Leaf will join us in studio in hour number three to talk about the playoffs that's going on in the National Football League world. Dan Orlovsky will be chiming in 15 minutes time with his two cents on what we just saw and what we just witnessed. And Bruce Feldman will be in studio to get us ready for the college football playoffs that begins on Thursday night between Penn State and Notre Dame, and then the Ohio State taking on the world. Texas and everybody else rooting against the Ohio State. That includes me. So, yes, I will be learning about...
Unbiased.
I will be... Oh, straight up. I'll be learning all about Bevo. I'll be all about the Bovine and Matthew McConaughey and anybody that likes Texas football. I'm with you. Hey, unfortunately for you, it didn't work out for Tennessee and Oregon. My fandom didn't work out.
Yeah, maybe you're the mush.
Maybe root for Ohio State.
Yeah, maybe you're the mush.
Do I do the reverse?
Yeah.
Do the Costanza?
Maybe think about it going about things a different way. Because you're 0-2.
Chris, he wanted to learn Rocky Top. That didn't work.
Nope.
You know, and then he...
I started quacking.
Quacking, yeah. and Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. That didn't work.
Didn't work.
No horns. No horns for you this week.
Nope. You know what I'll do? I'll just sit back and watch football.
Just be unbiased if you
Chris
can.
Chris Brockman and Jay Felly in their positions. TJ Jefferson in his position.
What's up, everybody?
Good to see you folks. So as soon as we went off the air yesterday, Antonio Pierce was let go by the Las Vegas Raiders. Yet another one-and-done situation. Although Antonio Pierce did have 9 games... as the interim head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. He did go 5-4 in 2023 after the Raiders said they were done with Josh McDaniels, who was done with Derek Carr, yada, yada, yada. This is what happens when you churn through some people. And obviously, the Raiders didn't expect John Gruden to resign in 2021. They didn't see a lot of those emails coming, one would think, until they did. And then it all started on that day in 2021 when John Gruden resigned. Rich Bisaccia took over. They made the playoffs anyway. Mark Davis decided to not go with Rich Bisaccia because he was the interim, and Josh McDaniels, the shiny Patriot object out there on the hill, he signs him. He fires my guy, Mike Mayock, despite Mayock and Gruden putting together a playoff team that did seem to respond to Rich Bisaccia. And then McDaniels flamed out in 2023 after telling Derek Carr to beat it. We all understand how that might have roosted with Davante Adams, who specifically left Green Bay and made his choice to go to Las Vegas because his BFF was there from college. But Derek Carr is told to beat it by Josh McDaniels, who's told to beat it by Mark Davis in the middle of last season. And then enter Antonio Pierce, whose tenure in Las Vegas will be remembered for not winning enough games, but on occasion winning too many games. Wow. I did just say that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Didn't win enough football games as the HC of the Las Vegas Raiders, but won too many football games as the interim head coach of the Raiders to not only get the job that Mark Davis said you're done with 1 year later, but win just enough games to be on the outside of the window of one of the most quarterback-rich drafts in recent memory. where six of the first 12 overall selections in the draft were quarterbacks. And they were just too far outside of the zone to go up and trade for one, or didn't go hard enough to trade for one, because I could have told you this coming in. Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell and Desmond Ridder weren't it. Certainly not when you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and a head coach in Sean Payton, who did get one of the kids who turned out to be the second most prolific one in the draft, in Bo Nix. But the Raiders won just enough to now be on the outside looking in, maybe in the 2025 draft, of the draftable top quarterbacks in the league in this year's draft, because they won two more games at the end of the season, and now they're sitting at six instead of sitting at one or two where they were just 3 weeks ago when we had Deion Sanders on this program. Talk about being dated. Deion said when I brought up his son, he goes, yeah, Giants, Raiders, because they were 1-2 in the draft. Right now they're 3-6 in the draft, which may be too low when it's all said and done. Won too many games to get a job that obviously the Raiders thought he was no longer worthy of. Too many games to get a quarterback to maybe help him keep his job this year. And then at the end, won too many games to potentially maybe leave them with an issue moving forward. If you're wondering how rare it is to see an interim head coach get a job and then get one and done, the last guy who was that person is when Kansas City's Romeo Crennel was an interim head coach in 2012. Fired one season after being a team's interim head coach. That's the last time that happened. Yeah, you forget what happened before Andy Reid showed up there, right? 13th different head coach, interim head coach for the Raiders since they last won a playoff game.
Whew.
Talk about churning through it. But what can be different this time? And it's obvious what's different this time. And you don't need Stephen A. Smith to say it, but he did anyway on What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask when they started recording their podcast a half hour after the news came out of Vegas that Antonio Pierce was no longer the HC there.
City of Las Vegas and Raider Nation is excited and intrigued to find out what kind of impact is Tom Brady going to have. Why would anybody else have say over him when it comes to picking personnel or picking who the next head coach should be? I got to be honest with you. If I'm Mark Davis, I let Tom Brady make the call. I know that might not be in him because he is the son of Al Davis, God rest his soul. But I will tell you, I'd strongly consider deferring to Tom Brady to make the decision about who that next dude is going to be. Because whoever that person is going to be, you're going to support it until there's evidence to contradict your support, just because it's Tom Brady. And that is the kind of thing that I believe the Raiders need right now, because they haven't given you much reason to place your faith in their decision making as it pertains to a head coach, as it pertains to a quarterback, as it pertains who they elect to let go and where they allow them to depart to. When you look at Tom Brady, you talk about people that's going to sit back and take a let's see attitude and give you the benefit of the doubt. I don't know anybody on this planet pertaining to football that would have that luxury at their disposal more so than Tom Brady.
I don't need to tell you to check out the latest episode of What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, because Stephen A. was on one about so many subject matters, from Jerry Jones's decision-making to the Giants' decision-making to Tyreek Hill's decision-making to Deion Sanders' future in Colorado and what Deion should do. Check that out. But he's not wrong, is he? How do you not turn to Tom Brady and say, Tom, your thoughts? And everybody thinks his thoughts are Mike Vrabel. That's what everybody thinks his thoughts are. I don't know.
Unless they're Bill Belichick.
That's what I said.
Dude, come on, man. If
Tommy P is saying that multiple teams have called Bill, including Tom Brady, recently.
To basically say,
what do you think?
Go get yourself a Carolina Blue cocktail napkin and a pen.
Yeah.
And say
his buyout until June 1st is $10 million. That's nothing for an owner. So if you really want Bill, go get him. That's the price tag. The price tag is $10 million. Go get him.
Why do it now when they could have got him last year?
Well, you could say the same thing about Mike Vrabel. As the if Vrabel is that guy,
exactly.
The Patriots had a shot at him,
right?
And the Raiders had a shot at him. I mean, they had jobs open jobs, job search being conducted, and they told Vrabel, "Stay where you are. We're going to go with these guys." And now those guys are one and done. Now they want Vrabel. How many teams that could have had Vrabel that didn't go for him last year are now firing guys to go get him? We know two.
It's crazy.
Kind of makes you wonder why they didn't get him last year, though, right? Like, doesn't that?
I don't know.
You have to ask that question.
Let me tell you this. I think it would be bat guano insane if Bill Belichick becomes the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. But I will say there are no parameters in this sports world that I can sit here and say it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's also the Raiders. They do crazy things.
Well, this would be a crazy thing. That wouldn't be a crazy thing from the Raiders' side. It might be a crazy thing from Bill's side. You made that commitment.
Right. And now he's already out there recruiting. He started a Twitter account.
Okay, I was going to ask you.
And he's posting pictures with recruits.
Barbecue? Did you see the barbecue picture?
Yeah.
Is that really his Twitter, by the way?
Yeah, Belichick.
Yeah, he went on Pat's show to announce it. Yeah, that's real.
Like, he posted a picture of a barbecue spot, and he said something like, who said recruiting was hard or something like that?
He verbally Carolina Blue checkmarked his own account on Pat's show.
Yeah.
I didn't want to follow it from the show because I wasn't sure.
No, it's really him, yeah.
Oh, my God. That would spin this whole damn thing off the axis.
Yeah, we're already kind of spinning off an axis now. We don't need the pow on anymore.
Well, if Bill's in play and all of a sudden he goes from, I don't know if there's going to be a job open, so I'm going back to college like I'm Thornton Mellon. I'm triple Lindy-ing out of this whole business because I don't know if this I'm going to get a job in the NFL. And now suddenly that just makes the NFL want him more. That's nuts. That's positively crazy.
Mm-hmm. Will Brinson tweeted out, the AFC West has a chance to be Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton.
Let's go.
As head coaches.
Those are some velvet ropes.
Take but, heart pills and buckle up.
No doubt. Greg Vrabel drop there, man.
Buckle up.
But, I mean, the conversation begins with Antonio Pierce. Didn't win enough games. Won too many games. And it ends with Bill Belichick might leave North Carolina to take the Raiders job.
What?
That's how nuts this has become. Dan Orlovsky is going to join us next on the Rich Eisen Show with his two cents on what's going on in the NFL world. Oh, my goodness. Can't wait to chat with him. Before we go, you're your family's biggest supporter, so make sure they're protected today with affordable online life insurance through Ethos. Up to $2 million of same-day term life insurance coverage in as little as 10 minutes for as little as $2 a day. It's 100% online, and there's no med exams, only a few online health questions. The mortgage, kids' education, and other costs could all be covered through Ethos. Straightforward protection for the people who matter most. Get a free quote at tryethos.com. That's TryEthos.com. Dan Orlovsky, when we come back, one of our favorites from the worldwide leader in sports. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge. So you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Welcome to the jungle, clones. It's the Jim Rome Show podcast.
The greatest and loyal fan base ever. You
the clones.
It all starts with the jungle. We're in it to win it, and I'm in it to go as hard as I possibly can every day to make sure that you clones get the best possible product every single day. Day one, all in, let's freaking go.
The Jim Rome Show. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back on the Give Them Lala podcast.
No, I have a very short fuse.
Get to know the TV personality.
I don't need to watch the show because I get the real life version.
From relationships and motherhood.
Let me tell you something about breastfeeding.
To business and beyond.
You are scared of failure, so it prevents you
from trying.
This is where we implement a big set of ovaries. And then we obsess.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Roku Sports Channel, Dan Orlovsky zooming in shortly, tracking him down out there in the great Nutmeg State. I don't know who else is going to get, who's going to get got? Anybody else getting got? That's about it, right? That should be it.
This week, you think? Well, everyone's kind of come out and said, you know, Steichen is safe, McDaniel is safe, right. Dayball's safe. Those were kind of the question marks. Jonathan Gannon,
I can personally attest, having spoken to him before the Rams game and spoken to folks in that organization, they love him. And I think the players love him, too, and for good reason. He's really...
I think he can coach. I think he's done a good job.
He might lose his OC.
Yeah.
Drew Petzing's been tapped for a few requests. Could lose him.
I mean, what?
I don't know. No, Gannon's a good coach.
Yeah,
too.
Callahan is safe. I guess Stefanski, he could be got this week.
He's a 2-time coach of the year, man.
I know, but it's kind of a mess there. Yeah,
like Janet Jackson said.
Let me ask you a question. Do we have the finger of blame?
Oh yeah, let me grab that.
Go ahead. Our NFL, Rich Eisen, sometimes I forget which network I'm on.
We're just waiting on McCarthy.
No, you have it. You have it.
We're waiting on the Dallas news.
The finger of blame. Okay. Ken Tulo, Rich Eisen show producer, actually has created an actual, lower it down a little bit. There you go. Finger of blame. Now twist it a little bit to your right. There you go. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Don't point it this way.
Finger of blame. At Deshaun Watson or Kevin Stefanski? What are you pointing at?
How are you going to blame Deshaun Watson
for what's going on in Cleveland?
Nobody told them to give that man that check. How's that his fault?
Yeah, I blame ownership, really.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
You can blame him
if someone
for the
says,
actions.
Hey, here, you want $240 million and you got to live in Cleveland? Where do I sign?
Yes.
Gotcha. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One of my favorites. By the way, we're walking through strolling down my Frankfurt, Germany memory lane. We had Jason McCourty last week. Now I got Dan Orlovsky. Quit my guys from Germany last year. Good to see you, Dan Orlovsky. How are you, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I am doing a lot better now that we only have a couple games to watch on a weekly basis than 16. So I look forward to the lighter load of playoff football.
Yeah, you can zero in on just only a handful of film. Let's jump in. I'll ask you the first question I asked Kurt Warner, my other quarterback friend, who is as deadly accurate watching all 22 as you, Dan. What do you see with the Steelers offense that's disappeared over the last 4 weeks that you think potentially they can find in time to turn things around against Baltimore? What do you think?
Yeah, thankfully, Kurt and I had the same careers as well, same accomplishments. So,
you're both.
Well, I'm thankful that you put my name in with his obviously Hall of Famer. There's two parts to every offense, right? It's your pass game and your run game. One, their run game, and really the main issue all season long. This isn't pre Russell Wilson being the quarterback or after Justin Fields. They don't do a good job of getting to the second level in their run game. There is consistently a misidentification of, okay, we're this, I'm the center and I'm the guard, and we're going to run a double team, and we have to run the double team to this second level player, a linebacker, and one person will go to him and one person won't, or they'll completely leave a guy. So they've struggled with that in the run game all season long. And or they'll whiff at it. So I think that's been an issue, is that's why sometimes their run game is okay. Like they'll rip off an 8 yard run. And then sometimes you're like, we just, the last three runs, we've gotten negative 1 yard. So that's the main issue in their run offense. Their pass offense is really twofold. They are we want to throw the ball on the perimeter, one-on-one down the field, 9 out of 10 times to George Pickens. If you don't give them that, if you structurally play with a safety over the top and don't give them that, there's not much of the pass game that they feel comfortable going to outside of maybe a Freiermuth on a corner route or an out route. But that's about it. Russell does not see the middle of the field well right now. That's kind of been the story of the past couple of years for us. That's why I always get fascinated when I still watch teams defensively occasionally still play Pickens one-on-one. And so if you don't give them that, imagine it like you're playing another sport, like a pitcher. If you don't allow the pitcher to throw the fastball, he's got nothing else. And that's right now their fastball. And when it's there, they have a shot to have some success on offense. If it's not, they really don't have a second pitch to get to.
So, my goodness, how did it work when he took over from 4-2 to 10-3? Was it the level of opponent? Is that what it was? Or the weather wasn't as cold?
No, I mean, honestly, a lot of teams were playing Pickens one-on-one. Mm. You know, if you go, I think the first game was the Jets game, if I'm right, or one of the early games.
It was. It was Jets and then Giants. Yeah, that's what it was.
They played him one-on-one a ton, and he hit those one-on-one balls. And then he played Washington, and they played him one-on-one, and he hit the big ball down the field. And so a lot of their offense is just that. And I think teams have caught on to that. I think teams have caught on to the fact of, hey, even if you're going to play them one-on-one, you play them a little softer, the ball's probably still going to go down the field on the go route. But if you just play a safety over the top, they really don't have anything to do offensively. And I think what teams have realized is like, that's really the thing that they're going to struggle with. Specifically, if you get them down into like that 30-yard range into the red zone area, if you take that away, it's a big struggle, because all they want to do is throw it to Pickens or maybe down the middle of the field to Austin. He's hit that twice this year. You take that away, they struggle.
Yeah. I mean, Rod Woodson, once upon a time, Dan, told me the most adaptable organism on planet Earth is an NFL defense. That's what he said.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what he told me once upon a time. And that's a perfect example of all of that.
It'll be even more prevalent in the playoffs, you know, because the playoffs become even more game plan specific. You know, in the regular season, you're in this rat race almost as a team. You're just, all right, Monday's our day off, Tuesday's our day off, or Monday's recap, Tuesday's day off, Wednesday we start with the game plan. You know, these teams have known these matchups obviously for the week, and it's so much more game plan specific of, we've got such a greater understanding of who you are and what you want to do, and we're going to take that away and make you play to your B or C game. And so I think it'll even show itself more this weekend.
Dan Orlovsky from ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. Give me which is the wild card weekend matchup you're most looking forward to seeing, Dan?
I'm most interested in Buffalo Denver.
Really?
I'll be clear. I think Buffalo wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick a game that I could see the upset happening, it's that one. Okay. And that's the one that gives me the most fear if I was a Buffalo fan, because one, Patrick Surtain changes everything that Buffalo wants to do and has had success doing this season. Denver treats Surtain like the Jets and Rex Ryan used to treat Darrelle Revis. We're going to put you on one side of the field and you put an X on that side of the field. And so I'll go super deep with the X's and O's here, Rich. So sure. One of the things that Buffalo's done great this year, and everybody in the playoffs does it, I think Buffalo does it as well as anybody, if not the best, is they get into these 4-by-1 formations. They put four guys to one side of the field. They put one guy to the backside of the field. And that one guy it's simple for the quarterback. They put him on an easy route, a slant or a stop or a go. And they say, hey, if you like the matchup or if it's free access, Josh, throw it there. And if not, well, we have four guys to the other side of the field. So like, we're just going to throw an easy RPO, like a flat route, or we'll throw a bubble screen, or we'll throw a little in and out route. It's easy operation, or we'll run the ball. You know, and so as an offense, we gain advantages and stuff like that. I have three plays at once. If I don't like my one-on-one because the corner is really good or they play with the safety over the top, well, great. Well, if you play with the safety over the top, it's math. You have one less person over to my four-man side. And if you're going to play with try to have a high safety over there, well, then I'm running the football. And so, like, Buffalo has been great at that this year. Denver can just take Sertan to the one person side and say, you cut it off. You play by yourself, and it's favorable for Denver in that situation. Two things that does is it allows them to have a body near the run and allows them to have an extra body near the four-man side. So now the advantage that Buffalo has had is taken away. So that gives me concern. I think the second thing is their defensive line is big, fast, and athletic. Jonathan Cooper is fantastic. Zach Allen is tremendous. Nick Benito is the key for me. Benito's a defensive player of the year candidate. And if you watch him play against Patrick, he's the spy guy. And Josh loves to run versus man coverage, which is what Denver does. And he's big and he's physical and fast. He can match up against Josh. And so that just gives me a little bit of hesitation. I think this defense is a really good unit, and Buffalo is going to have to play very well to have some success.
No kidding. All right. So then give me the team that has the best shot at one and done in Kansas City when that division round comes along, unless you think that doesn't happen. I'll give you the floor.
No, there. I do. I think the team that has the best shot is Baltimore. I really do. My heart wants to say Buffalo, but Baltimore, I think that Baltimore has the ability to just, and I just did their game in week 18 versus Cleveland. And one of the overwhelming takeaways for me was how much Derrick Henry has changed everything in the building. You know, Todd Monken, their offensive coordinator, said to me, as long as we are staying ahead of the chains, I don't think anybody can stop us. In many ways, that's what he went about saying, because his comment was, that was my perception of his comment. His comment said, when we run the ball, it gates us the opportunity to do it again. You know, and when we run the ball successfully, it keeps Derrick Henry on the field. And if they get into second and 10, Derrick comes off the field a lot because they're bringing in a Justice Hill as a pass catching back or a run or a blitz protecting back. And so I just think that philosophically they're at a point where they sit there and go, we don't even care if we're predictable. We're going to put Patrick Ricard on the field. We've got six guys that are 300 pounds. You're going to see Derrick Henry back there, and we're just going to say, stop it. Try and stop it. And I think that's a lot for a defense, specifically in Kansas City or Buffalo, to try to contend against. And I think Baltimore is in a very confident mindset when it comes to that.
I don't know, Dan. I'm concerned when it comes to the Ravens that their 345-pound people don't want to run back interceptions and just take a knee.
They had a chance for greatness.
That moment. Man. That was so great when Michael Pierce picked that off. The reaction of the three of you in the booth. And then you were just ready to go nuts, and then he took a knee. That was so funny, dude.
It was so great. Fowler was fantastic on it. Lewis is like, he didn't go one, he went two. It felt like I'm watching Eli Manning. You know, it was so unbelievable. Obviously, I work with Marcus so much, and Marcus is always highlighting these big men. He calls them balling. And so, and the crazy thing was, Rich, you know, we got our press box is obviously above the home sideline.
Yeah.
Imagine like a pack of bees like flying the whole sideline, just in one giant group, a mass of people was just kind of weaving to him and then off to the field. And it was like this really cool, joyous, funny, unbelievable moment. And it was really cool to be a part. I could not believe that he went down that quickly.
That's too bad. It's just, I did just want to see five more yards out of him, you know, just see where it would go.
My mind went into the contrast to the Saunders kid from New Orleans when he got the pick against Kansas City on the goal line. And it was like, this is my moment. I'm going to have this time. And so I would have loved to see him go longer, but if he didn't, this was equally as funny.
You know who didn't want to see him go longer? His lungs.
That's right. Probably might, right? Exactly. It just reminded me, remember Robert Hunt of the Dolphins?
Who
had no business. He intercepted his own screen pass, right? Like he saw glory and he was going to go for it. It's like the exact opposite, you know? Yes. And he was an illegal man actually going for glory. It was, my God. It was awesome. That was funny. Awesome. A few minutes left with Dan Orlovsky of ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, 13 names on the list currently of the Chicago Bears. inviting people in or asking permission to speak with them for their head coaching job. There's, I wrote down six offensive names here: Todd Monken, Joe Brady, Ben Johnson, my guy David Shaw, Mike Kafka, Arthur Smith. Name you the one that you think Bears fans should say go get. Oh, Drew Petzing as well of Arizona. Who do you think is the fit? Who's the fit for the Bears if that's the way they go to just attach an offensive mind to Caleb Williams?
I think it's really dangerous to get caught up in that we have to attach the offensive mind. I think Chicago is one of those cities that just has to play a certain style of football. They have to. And if you get caught up in we're going to look at the offensive perspective, I'll be honest, a lot of times the people who are the best person for the quarterback aren't like the toughest. You know, they aren't necessarily the guys that are going to bring about the toughest culture that I really believe Chicago has to play in because of the elements that they're consistently in. And so you don't see a lot of quarterback people notorious for being tough asses, you know? And so I think you got to be cautious if you're Chicago, just getting caught in all the, oh my gosh, it's only about Caleb Williams. I understand that it matters. Caleb's remarkably talented. As long as you surround him with good coaching and competent coaching, I think he's going to become a really good player. I just think the overall temperament of that coach, the overall philosophy of how that coach truly believes in how you have to play, not how he says it, but truly believes in the nature of how you have to play should be more important than, man, this guy's X's and O's are really good for the quarterback. And so obviously it's a big group of people. I don't know exactly who I think is the absolute best bet scheme wise, but I do know that you better be sure that the identity is the best for the offense and the team rather than just Caleb.
Yeah, I know Pete Carroll's being interviewed for the job as well. I know Vrabel.
Yeah, I would say this. I'm not just Chicago. My gut tells me that some of these teams, and I would imagine Chicago's in the group, probably want to talk to Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day, Steve Sarkisian. I would imagine, you know, if one of those coaches at least is going to lose this weekend, I would not be surprised if some of these NFL teams decided to put requests in for those guys, because all of them have, I think, outside of Marcus, some NFL attachment as well.
Yeah. I mean, David Shaw, I love that guy, man. I spent so much time with him on a draft set. I just know the way his brain works. I just know the type of person he is. I mean, he'd be a great face front person in the NFL, and he has the NFL experience as well. Because what you're saying, again, is if you can find a CEO who also has the offensive brain, maybe. I mean, that's why I guess Andy Reid's kind of like a unicorn in a way, right? I mean,
yeah,
or Sean Payton. You know,
and who's going with them? You know, it doesn't have to be this elite play caller. I'm fans of a lot of them. You know, I'm fans of a lot of them. And if they, I always say this to people, the thing that everyone has forever lost sight of when it comes to Sean McVay is he's brilliant football wise. He's a better leader. And that was so evident when I was there in that fall of 17, and I sat in that first meeting with Sean McVay. You saw, like, this guy controls the room. He gets how to connect with people and relate to guys. The way that he would get on the field and just manage the practice and communicate. And so, yes, brilliant offensively, X's and O's, but like, he's got this gravitational leadership skill that is absolutely, you know, at the forefront. So I love these X's and O's, but he better have that as well. It can't just be the X's and O's, because we've fallen victim to that in the NFL. So if they've got both, obviously, but if it's a David Shaw, you know, who's he bringing with him as his offensive guy? Maybe he's got an offensive coordinator that you're like, man, I love this connection with the Caleb Williams and the scheme marriage. And so it doesn't have to be this guy's a great play caller.
So then I guess in the minute I have left with you, the job opening that's the most attractive, what do you think it is? Which one?
Yeah, I think right now it's probably New England. I think you're the guy after the guy, so that's a little bit more appealing.
Right.
Drake May, I think, has shown this year, like, there's a lot of potential for him to be a big-time player. They got a ton of cash. There's some young talent on the roster. It needs to get rebuilt, no doubt about it. I do still think Chicago's a good place. They got to build their line of scrimmage a little bit more offensively. But I think because you have two young, talented quarterbacks, that's probably the place that I'm most intrigued in, because those, you know, all right, I've got guys that I feel have a pretty darn good chance for the future.
Yeah, you're right. So the next head coach there, along with Drake May, will be the coach quarterback after the guys who are after the guys, you know, like that's yeah. and an ownership group that, you know, can't believe that they're part of the one and done ownership club that wouldn't want to do that again. So, you
yeah,
know, that,
for sure.
You know,
yep. Yep. And you don't have to follow Bill.
Interesting. Dan, you're the best, bro. Thanks again for the time. Let's do this again soon, and I hope to see you in New Orleans, if not before.
Of course, brother. Be well.
Right back at you. The one and only Dan Orlovsky right here from ESPN. I love that.
Great t-shirt on Dan as well.
What? The standard?
Standard is a standard.
So he and Kurt Warner are both like, hold up on that whole, let's hook up the most brilliant offensive mind to Caleb Williams and make that person the head coach. Find the best head coach possible and get the best coaching staff around. I don't know, man. If you see Ben Johnson and he commands a room sort of like Sean McVay or some old head that's been incredibly successful, that's the guy. I know Bears fans are thinking that way. That's for sure.
Agree, but I'm also a little bit worried about he'd be a first-time head coach, and also right now he spends all his time thinking about plays and thinking about offense. When you become the head coach,
that's right.
There's so much more you have to think about, and that's less time you get to think about plays and offense and maximizing that side of the ball.
Boy. This is going to be a fascinating next month. Yeah. Certainly if Bill Belichick's in play again, that's insane.
Agreed.
Okay. I would not move if I were you. The next segment, I guarantee you, is something that you just don't see anywhere else. How's that for a tease?
Great.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Felly kind of knows what's happening. So oh. He knows I'm right.
Oh, definitely.
But for the time being, right here on the Infinity Sports Network, it's time for a sports update with Andrew Bogish. You and your dad watch football, and for years this has been going on?
It's probably only been, maybe, it's just been recently, maybe the last 3 years.
Okay,
something like
so
that.
What happens?
We sit around, we watch the game, and whenever they have a shot of a head coach.
The cutaway.
Mm-hmm. We like to guess what that individual is like as a stepfather.
Brockman, who's up first? Who do we have up first here?
First up, Alabama head coach, Nick Saban.
Taking a look at Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is the kind of stepfather that, regardless of how different he may seem to you, in every single Christmas card photo, his hair has been the exact same since he married your mother. He's also the kind of stepfather that wears dress pants and then a white tank top undershirt all the time, unless he leaves the house and then he puts on the dress shirt.
Ohio State head coach, Urban Meyer.
What sort of stepdad would Urban Meyer be?
Urban Meyer is really the kind of stepfather that's just always kind of confused and is really can never remember anybody's name. He'll always call Bobby Stevie and Stevie Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy, Dad. That's Bobby. Whatever.
Former 49er head coach, current Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Be gentle here.
You be having a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going really great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just all of a sudden gets a look on his face and he goes, "What was that?" And your heart just goes into your throat and you think you've said something horribly wrong. And you instantly start thinking about all the things that you could possibly be getting in trouble for.
Do we have Tom Sula?
We have a bonus line.
Yeah, got Tom Sula?
I've got your current
Niner head coach?
He is the kind of guy that he will be having a conversation with you and he'll never be looking at you. And he'll be going, "How's your day? You got a good day?" And you start telling him how your day was. And then he'll always go, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" No matter what you're talking about, so you can be burying your
try?
Soul.
Can we try?
Yeah, you'd be burying your soul. Yeah.
So hold on a minute. So I'll be your stepson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Richie, how was the day?
That was great. Dad, let me tell you about what was going on.
Hey, honey, have you seen the clicker? Where's the clicker? I got it. Sorry,
Richie. No, I just was telling you about what I was doing in school. Me and my friends, we had this great time.
Hey, did you throw out the paper, honey? I didn't finish that crossword puzzle. You gotta have a talk with your mother.
Oh, one of our buddies, Colin Hanks, way back in the day. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, the Infinity Sports Network, will be rejoining us in a matter of moments. In about 30 seconds, as a matter of fact. We got some good times here. Phone lines are lit, too. I'm glad we're all hanging out together here on this wild day in Los Angeles. It smells of smoke in here, doesn't it? You feeling it?
The air quality.
No bueno.
No bueno. And the smell when I got over the hill this morning was just unlike anything I've ever seen.
But again, I'm thrilled that everybody is able to be here today. And again, that you're here with us. It helps us pass a few hours here as things are kind of a hellscape around here in Los Angeles, California. So anyway, we're back here on the program, back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our network, our Infinity Sports Network as well. Just want to let you know, the unexpected, as we know around here, can happen at any time. You need to think about things like life insurance in advance, and Ethos makes it easy as 1, 2, 3. Just choose your coverage, apply in minutes, and get covered in real time. With no medical exam, just answer a few simple health questions, and you're on your way with up to $2 million of term life protection. With policies starting as low as $2 a day, Ethos is approving over 2,000 families a day for life insurance protection, all online and hassle-free. Get your free quote now at tryethos.com. That's TryEthos.com. One of the many things I love about doing the show over now 10-plus years is the people that we get to meet and the friends that we make through this program. One of them, and some of them happen to be famous. No, I'm not dropping names. I'm just saying we also happen to talk about them because they're major sports athletes. Just to pull a name out of the air, Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh,
yeah. Carl Anthony Towns came in during the summer,
kind of random,
and he was wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey.
Yep.
Even though he's from New Jersey, he's not a Giant or Jet fan. He's an Eagles fan.
Right.
And he and TJ just hit it off.
Did we?
Yeah, because he found out you're a Cowboy fan, and you know, and Carl's got some gumption to him. Mm-hmm. So when I played golf with him, and the Cowboys were struggling early on in the season, before he's, you know, this is a week before he was traded to the Knicks. Even mm-hmm. he while in a golf cart said, "I want to send a message to TJ." Just to
TJ, listen, I'm golfing here with Rich, and I told him that we both had a bad week. But damn, your week was way worse than ours.
Damn.
Now he was referring to the Cowboys losing to the Saints, and that was when the Eagles lost to the Falcons. Remember that? At any rate. And then the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Detroit Lions 47-9. And out of the blue, he sent flowers, 47 of them in Eagles colors and 9 of them in Cowboys colors, just to show the difference between 47 and 9. And this wasn't even an Eagles game.
No.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Right. But then when they did play one another and the Eagles beat the Cowboys 34-6, he sent more flowers and balloons with the 34 and the 6. And
all right, let's get to it.
So he said, wait till we see you one more time. Mm-hmm. And he is now done it again. Carl okay. Anthony Towns has sent to the studio, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Like no.
Come on out. Here's Liz Whale of the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, hey, more flowers. More flower. I this love flowers.
Here we go. And this as you can see, a smaller bunch.
Gosh, these are beautiful.
And then a larger bunch.
Thank you. All right.
We have taken a photograph of the card. Here's the card. Carl Anthony Towns enclosed to you, TJ.
Uh-huh.
I have another copy of it right here.
I bet.
The flower shop ran out of flowers dealing with the Cowboys this year. Way to help small business this year, TJ. That's strange. But you know what's really strange is that Carl Anthony Towns would just go back to the flower well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's kind of boring.
Has he not stepped it up at all? Well, yes, he has. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rich Eisen Show studio. Mariachi Ausente, a local mariachi band here from Los Angeles, California. I do believe they have been now practicing and well-versed in the Eagles fight song. Take it away, Mariachi Ausente, please. Courtesy of Carl Anthony Towns.
That's incredible.
Kalumba Varba, is that you over there, Kalumba? Would you mind stepping up to the microphone?
Yes, well done.
How much did you practice this one?
Ooh, not much. It's a short song. It's pretty simple.
For a simple team and a simple fan base.
Don't
denigrate
Kalumba into this.
Come on now.
Did you know who Carl Anthony Towns was before this?
No.
Okay, now you do.
Now you do.
Thank you very much.
I think we need to hear it again.
Okay.
You're way too quick.
Let's
go.
Here on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't go away, TJ. Go ahead, hit it, please. Hit it. I've been told Mariachi Ausente would like a photograph of me. I think now's a perfect time.
Oh, perfect time. Perfect time. Perfect time.
Oh, this is amazing.
This is amazing. Oh, God, thank God for the Eagles and how terrible the Cowboys are. Carl Anthony Towns, what a legend. Oh, maybe our most satisfying friendship. New friendship of the show, right, Jay Felly?
This is incredible.
It's incredible.
Lovely photo.
This is great.
Oh, this is so great.
Everybody say what? Queso?
Queso.
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 Okay, one more time.
Play
us out.
One more time. Let's go.
Let's do it. One more time, please. Yeah.
Come on.
Por favor.
Uno, dos, tres.
Song and a very simple word to spell.
Oh, this is great.
See, I knew it couldn't have just been flowers.
I might need to change my pick to the Eagles. We need them to win the Super Bowl now. Could you imagine what Cat would do if they actually won?
We just had a triple double of mariachi singing. Thank you so much. What's your website? Is there any way people can contact you to
mariachiausente.com?
Okay. There you go.
Great.
MariachiAusente.com.
Well done.
I blame Jerry Jones for this.
Kalumba Varba, Syrah Haro, Adam Perez, Joaquin Tellez, and Miguel Morales. Round of applause.
Well done.
Mariachi Ausente, courtesy of Carl Anthony Towns, everybody. TJ, baby. You got a new BFF. It's Cat. Gatto.
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 Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast. You're also saying the record's going to go down.
I'm saying the record's going down anyway.
The guy.
I don't think you're off on this at all. Like, you're spot on here. I don't think this is an overreaction because we have no idea what we're reacting to. Come react or overreact with us.
Overreaction Monday. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
It's game over.
Over, man.